5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Out of crocodile's name.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's the gold you don't get anywhere else.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Feel good.
Of course you feel good. Yeah. You're listening to us. It's a big show, this one. Luke Darcy here next.
Oh.
Because his great mate Leon Cameron stands down today as the coach of GWS. So we'll get the Duke's thoughts on that.
Yep.
And then Danny Green, second hour. The man, the Green. Most powerful puncher from the West there's ever been.
Seen.
Because not only have we got the Coward Punch night tomorrow night, but he joins you on the front bar tonight.
Tonight, Phil. I know. Thank you very much, Jim. Great to be with you. Another nice day, I must say so.
Yes,
and great to see you, Rosemary.
Mm-hmm. This isn't a hospital. It's an insane asylum.
Major Hot Lips Houlihan.
Oh,
nurse.
MASH.
From MASH because...
It is Happy International Nurses Day.
Oh. Well done to all nurses.
I wondered where you were going,
Coach. Incredible
They
work.
Are very important people. Yep. My mum, for 40 years, was a nurse. Beautiful people.
Overworked, underpaid.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what I have noticed, Jim. A lot of emergency vehicles, a lot more, they drive around with their lights on. Have you noticed that? There's always a...
an ambulance type of setup.
Yes, with all the lights flashing all the time. Have you noticed that at all? No.
Not
all
really, says Hose. Well, without saying it.
I drive up and down every day, and I just notice that. So, and they do a great job, every one of them out there.
Anyone in an emergency service.
Exactly. So let's have a little bit of a hip-hop rap.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Yes, Leon Cameron has resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Not re-signed.
And resigned.
He's resigned. Jim, after 9 years at the Giants, of course. He coached this week against Carlton.
Yes.
At Giants Stadium, and then he's going to have a spell. Right. It was interesting. In April, Cameron and the club made it public, their mutual decision to put off contract talks. So I reckon the writing was on the wall since then, Jim. And he sat down with the Giants, and I think they've come to an agreement, both sides. Do you think that?
I do.
Well, David Matthews, the CEO of the Giants, he had this to say.
Leon Cameron has an amazing legacy at this club. He's done an outstanding job, in our view, over a long period of time, and I think his legacy is absolutely assured. He's taken us to finals. He's won finals. He's done what a lot of AFL coaches haven't done, and that is not just coach a team. He's helped build a club.
He has indeed, in really tough conditions.
Took him to a grand final.
Grand final. Yeah. Exactly right, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Leon.
I know I've still got the players, but it's a zapping job. And I'll be totally honest, you know, sometimes that can wear you down a little bit. I get to spend time with my lovely wife, who's over here. But I get to see my kids play sport. And when you're in this environment and you are the senior coach, it's non-stop. There's no break. I admire a number of coaches in the past. Ross Lyon was, you know, one that I would sit back and admire. One thing he always said is you cannot be in 99%. You've got to be in 100%. And if I've waned a little bit for a percent or two, then that's helped make me come to this decision and the club come to this decision.
Mark McVeigh, who has been with Leon for 9 years at the Giants.
The Spikelet
will coach the club for the remainder of the year. But one name's going to come up and be spoken about for the next couple of months. Alistair Clarkson.
Well, not only there, but everywhere.
But also there. It gives them a nice head start, doesn't it?
Of course it does, Bill.
Sit down with Clarko and just see what he's
doing. He will be the first call they all make.
Mm-hmm. He's spot on. So well done to Leon.
Yes,
I think
quality. We'll speak to the Duke about him. Yeah. He is quality.
I think, and a good decision made by both him and the club. Big news at Carlton, Jim, because they're fourth on the ladder. They're 6-2, and Harry Mackay is going to miss the next 6 weeks.
That is
weeks.
Big.
And they don't want to walk into this either. Every time this happens, the team the coach is leaving wins.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It happens every single time.
Exactly right. So big, big game for Carlton now because he's kicked 20 goals.
Yep.
Charlie Curnow's kicked 25. That's 45 goals between them. And Harry won't be there. He's having surgery today. Won the Coleman medal last year,
quality.
Of course. He is very good.
And his twin, who you think is the same person, can now play for North.
Well, no. Because he's injured, isn't he?
When he plays for North, what is your theory still going to stand up?
So he's not going to play for Carlton, and guess who won't play for North on the week?
Yeah. I bet he plays in the next 6 weeks.
We'll see.
All right,
but they're not going to play this week, Jim.
Phil,
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you that Ben Mackay will play in the next 6 weeks, debunking your theory.
Is Ben Mackay playing this week, Ethan?
I said
no.
The next 6 weeks.
No, sorry.
I said
we'll
in the next 6 weeks.
Jim, a week at a time in this game. A week at a time.
Hold on to that hose.
Yep,
and when he does play, we'll talk to you about it then.
But so Harry's not playing, so guess what? Ben's not playing. I'm telling you, Jim.
Richmond have
lost the promising defender. This boy's a good player. Josh Gipkus. Just call it that? Yep.
He's a very good player.
I tell you what, he's been outstanding.
Like him.
Bloody oath, he's been very good there. And finally, the Sydney Kings have broken the drought. The drought is over. How many years, Cocco?
The 17-year drought is over. All hail the Kings. Sydney, the NBL 22 champions.
Yes, indeed. They last won the title in 2005, Jim. Because the Kings have been a good side for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So 17 years ago they won their last title. I tell you what, the Jack Jumpers.
Jackies.
They have been fantastic. Only got beaten by, 9 points last night. Could have won down there in Tassie. But last night they had 2 players withdraw through illness.
Oh, no.
2. So they have been, they've had a fair dinkum crack.
They
with
have.
The Jumpers.
Yep. No,
so
well done.
Good on them.
No
what
doubt.
A great first year they have had.
No doubt.
You know, it's going to be hard now to bounce back again, Jim.
What do you think?
Paul Gallen got beaten last night. The former NRL star got beaten to old Chris Terzetsky.
For your winner by unanimous decision, fighting out of the red corner, Chris Terzetsky.
Where did we get that bloke from?
I don't know where we found him.
You can't get an Australian ring announcer.
He was all fired up and then he forgot to. Hang on, what's Tekeski's surname?
Sounds like the bloke at the darts. 180.
Paul Gallen was good again. He was just outfought. This was a boxer taking on a bit of a brawler.
That's your sort of take on it?
Boxer, brawler.
Right,
I told you yesterday he's going to be too quick for him. Did I tell you or not?
No, that's your take on it?
I told you.
Or was it Greenies?
No, I haven't spoke to Greeny yet.
Oh,
he's coming in. Where is Greeny?
Is he?
Yeah. But I told you this Chris is too quick for him.
Oh.
But I tell you what, Gallen, he finished the fight 10 rounds, so well done to him there. And there's another zoo in town. We've been talking about this all week too. Nikita, he won in the first round, Jim, and it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And if he keeps going like he's going, he might have to take on his brother Tim in the super welterweight division. That would be for a world title. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Wow, we brothers punching on. Like they did in the old days. Ange Postecoglou has claimed the Scottish Premiership with Celtic. Well done to Ange. What a star.
Brilliant.
I only needed a draw. 1-1 draw there against Dundee United. So that's their 52nd league title. 10th title in the last 11 years. So they've been a powerhouse.
No doubt about that. Now, Bill, we've got the big Duke wandering in. We're going to find out what Leon Cameron's thinking about today and the future.
Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, we're going to talk to him about some serious subjects here, Jim. So I want your best teeth in, please.
And the big Duke's wandered in. He's been busy elsewhere in the building putting the podcast together.
Podcast.
But we've just grabbed him after that because his great mate, Leon Cameron, has stood down as the coach of GWS after a very fine career, in my view, Duke.
Yeah, he has, JB, and I tuned in to the press conference and knowing that Kaz and the kids would all be there, and I thought he was unbelievable today in the way he spoke and he handled himself. He handled himself and clearly,
honest.
That probably sums him up, Bill. I think people, he's humble and he's understated, Leon, but he's always been able to deliver things with honesty and integrity. And look, he should be really proud. Clearly, I'm close to him, but in 10 years up there, I think what he's achieved at a start-up club to give them that stability, and you know that's a sustained success. GWS.
Only Geelong have played in more final series in that time than GWS.
I think underappreciated at the NJB. It's not an easy thing to attract players and keep them at a club. He's built a proper footy club, I'd describe it as. They buy into the culture there. He's got great relationships. One of his great strengths is whether it's Tony Shepherd, the president, or a first-year player, or whoever it is, he's got the same language, the same demeanour, the same care for people, regardless of their position. So he's done an outstanding job. I'm very proud of him, Bill.
Exactly. Made the grand final, of course. Didn't win that. What they are proud of, they've played four finals, I think, but three finals against Sydney and won three finals against Sydney. They're very proud of that. So what happened here? Did he call it, do you reckon? Saw the writing on the wall, or have the Giants called it?
Look, I think, and that was a bit of the focus of the press conference, and I have had a chance to speak to him. And I think the thing about Leon, Bill, is that they're incredibly selfless and also pragmatic. I mean, he's had to have conversations with players that coaches do along the way. He would have understood where this year sat and what they needed to achieve. And I think he's given them a great gift at the NJB is to say, hey, I understand where that road's leading at the moment. Let's have a mature conversation. What do you think? Is it going to help the club? And that's what that would have been about for him. Not can I jettison myself out early because I've had enough. I believe it would have been, this is actually, and for the club, they get a head start now in the next chapter.
Yep, they do.
And he takes a break. He needs one. He's put, as they all do, senior coaches. Oof. But I've stayed up there at his house before mid-year, JB and Bill. And at 4:30, I look out, he's cleaning the pool. And then he's making the kids lunches. And then he's, after training, he's got 100. Like, they put in serious time and serious effort. So he needs a good break.
Got a pool.
Mm. Well, I love the fact, Duke, that there's not blood on the floor. Because way too often coaches leave these positions and bitterness and resentment and the wrong things get said and done. And then 10 years of an amazing job can be forgotten because of the last 20 seconds. This is the proper behaviour of a man with class, in my view.
And I had the great privilege a moment ago. I spoke to Leon's beautiful wife, Kaz, who's as big a part of that footy club as Leon has been. And the kids are too. It's a real family environment. You've seen that before. But little Jack's the youngest. He's a ripper little Jack. Am I allowed to still go back to training? You know, he asked mum. That's sort of the question. And the answer is, you know what, in some cases that wouldn't be the case. No. Coaches leave and there's no doubt that he's left in such a way, and it's pretty unique, that he'll be loved and revered there for as long as he's around.
Never burn your bridges.
Well, a lot of people do, though.
But you shouldn't, because you never know when you have to go back to the pub. People trying to get work again, and they burnt their bridges. Don't worry about that.
A bit of life lesson from Bill,
analogy of philosopher. Sorts.
So who should coach? Is it an Alistair Clarkson, or can they put a first-yearer in there? Because it's a bloody tough job. You're up against other sports there. You're really a rebuilding club. So it's a bloody tough job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely, Bill. And they have the time now to do it, which, you know, without other clubs having that window. So, I don't think you go in with anything apart from an open mind, and you try and find out who the best person possible is. Clearly, everyone's going to say Alistair Clarkson's got an incredible track record, and you would be giving Clarko a call. But I think you keep an open mind and find the best person that you can.
What are you two? You've both been on boards, you president, and you're on the board, Luke. Duke. What do you do? Do you just get everyone to apply? Do you read them all? Do you shortlist them? How do you go about it?
Oh, look, I would do what Duke just said. If there's a clear, favourite park there, which Al Clarkson is, then the first thing you'd do is you'd be ringing him or his manager and saying, where's he at? What does he want to do? If we're about to embark on a process of finding a replacement for Leon, would he be interested in talking? You would go there. Go there first.
Yes.
You would also, there's enough intel around to know if there's another coach who's maybe going to leave, who you'd like the look of. So you'd go, is there anyone else of the other 17 who's not going to be at the club they're at here next year? Mm. You'd contact their manager. And then I reckon, Duke, this is me, you'd then open it up to the rest of the world. So in other words, all the assistants and everyone else, and say, right, who's? But that's what I would do. I would go to the favourites, if you like, first.
And I think sometimes, Bill, it is a small industry and there is a lot of intel, but sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And we've seen, I look at Craig McRae, who has been around for a long period of time. He looks like the right person for the right time for me. If you don't take the time to actually sit down, understand their backstory, then you maybe miss an opportunity that was there that you perhaps overlooked in the past.
Mm. I agree.
You're good friends with him. Was he a better left footer or a right footer?
He was an extraordinary kick of the football, Bill, and natural right footer. But sometimes you have to remind yourself, I think he can kick longer with his left in the end. But it's a bit of a dying art, that. You don't see players. He could line up for goal and decide, you know, it's a better shot for me to kick on the left. And generally do it. And no one would know whether or not that was his preferred foot.
He ain't kicking on either foot when I saw him walking up there in Canberra a couple of weeks ago. He looks like he's just got off a horse, having ridden across the desert.
He's in some pain there on that front. And he needs to get his knee sorted out. And probably, as an old mate, that's the thing he's let go a touch, JB. He needs a little break. And then he needs to sort of maybe put some time back in the gym.
We are taking a little break. Gym. More with the Duke after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Never have I watched a full episode of Steinfeld. Is it Steinfeld?
What's it? Steinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Hey, Big Duke, Friday night is massive for your club. It's a season definer. I know we're in the first half of the season, but you just got to win this one, I reckon.
Yeah, it's massive, and it's been one of those seasons for the Bulldogs where not a lot has gone right in some ways, and you look at the injury list, it makes for pretty hard reading, Bill, if you follow the red, white and blue, and you're hoping Tim English is going to be back. It was probably the standout in the first 3 or 4 weeks, and he's copped a version of the flu that's going to knock him out definitely this week, and he's got some recovery to do from that. So it seems to be a challenge after challenge. But you're right, you start running out of time. Mm. And so that group are going to have to find a way on Friday night.
Ontempelli coming back's massive. Alex Keith, you've missed enormously. Yeah. The back half gets run by him, and I don't think people understand how important he is.
And not many sides have got ready-made replacements for their best key defender. And so he has been a huge omission. They'll be very, very happy to see him back.
You needed him last week. Gee, they were taking mark after mark inside 50, weren't they? It was hard to watch.
It is, isn't it? When you actually were, maybe a kick away from grand final day, putting in a position where it might have been a different story. So it just shows you reload the next year. You've got the intentions that it's going to go your way. But no, they found themselves in a situation where they need to win games pretty quickly.
And Sam Darcy, how's he going? He was injured, of course. How's he going?
He's going to play his first half of football or thereabouts in the VFL on Saturday, Bill. He got a bit of a spring in his step around the house.
Good, would have.
Young fella, do you all get down there? The whole family gets there?
I'm calling the game in Sydney
at
the SCG, which is the Bombers and the Swans. So I'm going to miss it. But
the rest of the family.
I think a few will probably want to.
How do you go watching?
Look, he hasn't played a lot, JB, so I haven't, that generation missed so much footy, but, I don't know how Bill felt watching Oscar, but I feel like you see danger that you didn't see on the footy field. Mate, don't run there.
No,
out of that one. Stay away from it.
But you watch them. You don't watch the game like you do normally when you're
zero
calling.
In on them mainly, don't you?
It's now, where is he? I get Oscar mixed up with a few blokes too, and I thought, that's not him.
You yell out, Bill? Were you?
No. At school, I used to a little bit, and I got told to shut up.
Goodbye, Oscar?
No. The umpire came over one day.
That'll be about enough for you, Bill.
He said, just shut up or we'll give a free kick. I said, all right, mate, no worries.
What about Beck? How does she go?
Yeah.
I think she'll be a touch nervy. Like anything, it is. It's a bit of an out-of-body experience watching your kids run around and play. So, and I think you see how much effort and time they put in, so you just want them to get through it pretty well.
I told this story before about my older brother and his wife. He turned to her one day when they were watching Angus or Andrew, whoever it was, and said, "You were never like this when I played." And she went, "Well, you never got anywhere near the ball."
I'm not going to run that past Beck in case I get a similar answer my way, but that would have been tough, with watching Andy go through some of the head knocks. Angus going through,
And then Andy got cleaned up. It's better, trust me, it's better than cricket.
Why?
Well, because when you watch your kid play cricket, especially batting,
one
mistake and the whole day's finished. At least you can turn the ball over, Duke, and have another crack.
They walk out, Jim. You get in a nice little spot. First baller, and you're going,
bada bing. There we are. That's the end of the day.
Or you miss it. You go and get a beer or something. You come back and he's out. Who was on the podcast today? The Dalai Lama today?
I'd like to get the Dalai Lama, Bill, if you've got a contact for
His
Highness. Andrew Bassett today, the founder of SEEK, St Kilda Footy Club president.
Right.
What an interesting, unbelievable story that is. become one of the biggest businesses in Australia. Yeah. Founded in 1997. Super smart man, Andrew Bassett.
And his brother.
And Paul, yeah. Yeah.
Good stories out there, aren't they? There's some really good stories.
And very humble. You know, I'm finding, Bill, because talking to different...
Humble.
You know, didn't want to take credit. Oh, I had good luck. I found good people. It was just, it happened to fall my way. No, that's not what happened.
Yeah. No.
You came up with an idea that no one else had really thought. You executed it in a way that no one else could. You took on Fairfax and Rupert Murdoch and your extraordinary story of success.
Now, Duke, I don't know what you're doing at 9:05 tonight, but I'd be swinging onto the screens of Seven because the front bar, I said this to Mick 2 days ago, I love the show. I love the idea behind the show, but I thought eventually they'll run out of blokes they can interview, and they have. Because tonight, Bill's on.
Ah, Danny Green's on.
Well, he's doing the coward punch, but their main guest is Fat.
Fat.
So this will be brilliant because they have got research. Yes. They've got vision, Bill, that you'll forget that happened. They'll find things that Johnny Oroglasso is their man behind the scenes, who's a legend. And there's a bit of content around Bill over the journey.
I
will be tuning in to the front bar tonight, Bill. You've done an occasional nudie run.
Nudie run, footy, cricket, Jim. They'll have some highlights at the 100. I got it. Windy Hill.
No, there will be no cricket.
The nudie run.
Unfortunately, my favourite bit of vision we've used so often on the footy show that they probably won't go with it, the prelim final, when a sniper bullet got him in the forward pocket. No one within 30 metres of him, Duke, and he just fell flat on his face.
So this will be brilliant tonight. I was on a while ago, and there was the most embarrassing things ever happened to me on TV, and it was on 7 Plus or one of the – they called me late. Basil Zemplis had got crook. Hamish had fallen over. Last man standing, yes. And I get this call, you've got to come to Brisbane to do the tennis. Rosie, remember this.
Oh, I do.
You've
it's
never
brilliant.
Seen
it's
a more
so
stressed
good.
Man in your life. I go, I can't do it. Mm. I don't know anything about it. I'm not doing it.
Names.
They said, no, you'll be fine. You just need to, you know, Fitzy's up here and you can. So I get up there on the plane, I'm reading Russian tennis players' names. I'm trying to work my way through. Oh. And they do this thing where they push you out on the court between the break of play, right? So I've got, guy on my ear I've never heard before. He goes, Andy, go. So they push me out the door and I look on the court and I look to my left, look to my right, and I could not name anyone standing on the court. And, as you have all done a lot of stuff, you're waiting for a producer to say that that would be, Medvedev and that would be Roger Federer. Yeah. Crickets.
Nothing.
And all I could get out was more tennis.
Tennis?
And that was it. That was the only thing I said. And it felt like I was there for an hour.
Oh, no.
They found it. They found it. And,
of course they did.
And played it back, Bill. So good luck tonight on the
good
front
luck,
bar.
Good luck, Bill.
Say that again. That wasn't.
No, Bill. Oh. Good luck is what we're saying to you. Because I think it's going to be a train
break a leg.
Train wreck.
No, it'll be all right. We'll be all right. A few frothies and I'll just relax.
That'll get
relax.
I'll be right. Yeah. Good to see you, Duke.
Good on you, Duke.
Thanks, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyone watch the following here?
No.
Hey, great show. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin. He, write that down too.
Brother of Kevin. And he's very, very good.
Old topics.
Yeah, topics Brownless. Time now. Sit back. Enjoy this little story. It tickled my fanny. A passenger lands a plane in Florida. Jim, you'll see it on the news tonight. Mm. After a pilot had a medical emergency on the flight from the Bahamas, okay?
Right.
So a passenger with no flying experience, Jim, none.
Never flown a plane before.
Never, ever had to land a plane safely with the help of the air traffic controllers up there. Mm-hmm. Did it very, very nicely indeed. And here's some audio.
My pilot's gone incoherent.
That's right. And?
No idea how to fly the airplane. Roger, what's your position?
I have no idea. I can see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
Had no idea. Jimmy could see the coast of Florida in front of him. Had no idea how far he had to go. Luckily, one of the instructors was in the air controllers.
Right.
Got on the mic and instructed him, flew him in, Jim, and he landed.
Talked him down.
So how good is that?
That is unbelievable.
What a hero.
All right, so that's an incredible story.
Yes.
So what interests me now is where you're taking this from a phone topic point of view, old topics Brownless.
133353, ring now.
What are you going with?
When have you landed a plane unusually?
No, Bill.
Really?
No, Bill.
Yes.
You can't go there.
It's a bit niche.
No, it's very niche.
A little bit niche.
Bill, there won't be a person ring.
Someone out there or two or three would have landed a plane unusual.
No.
Yes, Jim, I'm telling you.
There won't be one person to call us.
They would have been in a plane and they would have had to land it. I'm telling you, there'll be one or two, maybe.
None.
Let's have a, how long have we got to, before it clicks in?
Well, about a minute if you're on the listener app.
Bill, I knew Paul had. Yeah.
Well, Bill, we had that situation where Spud years ago on his way down to
Barnboogle. Yes.
The plane landed unusual because they didn't put the wheels down.
Oh.
So the thing just landed on its belly.
Oh, no.
And skidded to a stop. And Spud was, he was jumped over out. About five people to get out
it
of
there. It was down the back. Bill. Oh, look at him, go! Jimmy!
I don't believe it.
Here we go,
no
Jimmy.
One has rung.
When have you landed a plane unusual,
oh,
Jim? 1-333-53 Very good prizes.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
So Bill reads a story about a plane in Florida coming from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
The pilot has a medical emergency.
Yep.
He's unable to fly the plane anymore.
Passenger.
So the passenger jumps in, grabs hold of the joystick.
Yeah.
And Bill.
Yes, Jim. It was a Cessna 280.
He gets some assistance from the tower and lands the plane.
A Cessna 280, Jim, so, which are easy to drive.
So, are they?
Yeah.
Drive.
Yeah, you drive.
I hope you're not driving.
Driving a plane in the air.
Yes.
So, Bill comes up with the phone topic, old topics, Brownless. When have you landed a plane unusual?
What are those other planes, Jim?
A Fokker friendship?
No, I don't want your friendship.
I need your Fokker help. Mick is in Mildura. Hello, Mick.
Hello, Mick.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. What happened to you, please? Tell me, Mick, you've landed plane.
I've got a story. I'll put it that way. But fortunately, there was no one was ill at the end of it all apart from me.
Yeah.
We're flying with my stepfather not long ago, and we went for a bit of a buzz around up around Menindi, Pooncarry, and Broken Hill, and we were flying back to Mildura. And I've done a little bit of flying, but not enough to call myself a learner pilot.
Yeah, yes.
And he's like, because it's a little LSA, ultralight aircraft.
Oh, LSA.
Like, you take the controls and fly back to the airport. We can see the airport, you know, for the distance. Oh, yeah, that sounds easy enough. So we're just cruising in, no worries, and then get to 500 feet, and I'm like, yep. You can take over now. He goes, nah, it's your plane. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. And he's like, all the way down, it's your plane. Wouldn't take the controls, left me at it. And I just had to steer it in, put it down on the runway.
What sort of a landing was it, Mick?
It was pretty rough. And nose wheel first. And then we didn't glide in like they do, the professionals do. But I'll tell you what, I gave myself the best wedgie because we got out of the plane. it's like coming down a hill and you've got absolutely no brakes and you're just steering it with the love of God and hopefully the wind blows the right way. It's the most unnerving feeling. But it was
no brakes, Bill. And nose wheel first.
LSA is a little one, Jim.
Was it? Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Mick. We've still got more calls.
I don't think there are too many more. 1-333-53 if you've landed a plane unusual.
I can see Maxie there. Hello, Maxie. Slapsy.
Hi, guys. Hi, Rosie.
Hello, Max. See you.
What happened,
Guy
Maxie?
Max.
Oh, yes. Hello. I know you from Twitter.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Glad to talk to you again.
What happened?
Yeah, I had a little incident many years ago with my son next to me.
Yeah.
We coming into the circuit at the home airfield and a bright sunny day and he says, Dad, it's raining.
Oh,
I said, what are you talking about? Just look at the window and I just see fuel pouring down the window. The fuel tank on the Cessna had ruptured.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, my God, now what do I do? So I called the tower very quickly. I said, called my call sign and said, I'm going to land the plane dead stick, dead radio, just as an emergency practice.
Yeah.
So I pulled the throttle, pulled all the electrics, came down, did a fairly good landing, I think, and just ended up rolling down to the hangar and telling the guys, hey, guys, aircraft's up to. Give me another one. I'm going back up again before I get scared of this crap.
Did it manually, Jim. Dead stick, dead radio, which is how you do it. And
that,
land it manually.
Stick,
so okay. Well done, Maxie. That was good.
Well done, Max. Yeah,
and
well
who
done.
Else we got there? Ash from Somerville. Mark from
seeing
too many more. I'm looking out at the, the magnificent
busy out there.
Staff, and they're looking very blankly
look
back
at
me.
He's
going,
got his feet up.
I reckon anyone's.
Daniel just sprained in. I see you hung him up pretty quick.
And Mark reckons you're a flog. Hey, Bill, I was coming in on a commercial flight a few years back. and it
doing
got,
an ad.
It got to about, well, it felt like about 50 metres off the tarmac.
Yeah.
And then went, took off again.
Went again.
Well, I can't say took off again because it was still in the air.
Yeah.
But, you know, went again. And the pilot just came over the loud. He said, yeah, sorry about that. He said the wind changed.
Oh.
And we weren't aware that it had changed as much as it had until we nearly got down, because you can't land a plane with tailwind. So then he said we just had to take off and then turn around and come back into the wind.
Oh, gee whiz.
And I'm not a nervous flyer, Hose, but I crap myself. Not literally, but...
When it's something unexpected like that.
It was very weird.
When you're in America and they land the plane, everyone claps, don't
they? Yeah, they do.
It's weird. Everyone claps on the plane. We don't do anything like that. Nah. And they let all the army blokes off and all the servicemen, don't they? They're very polite. All the servicemen go off first. We don't do that here either.
No. Every person for themselves.
We've got no manners here.
No.
A good topic.
Not really.
Topics, Brownless.
I'm not sure topics.
We've got plenty of prizes.
We've got leftover prizes for tomorrow, so that's exciting for everyone who's calling in for brag artists.
Not sure that was your best topics.
I'll have a spell. Have a spell, Fat.
This is Cold Chisel, Flame Trees on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Shouldn't make fun of people who can't talk.
Ever wonder if you're in the right business, Billy?
Hey, Jimmy boy, your birthday yesterday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, of course.
Yes.
But what happened last night? Did we have a nice birthday
Nice dinner, yep. Family dinner. And we went to one of my favourite restaurants, actually, called Bok Choy in Brighton, which is a traditional old Chinese restaurant with a lazy Susan.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, I love it.
Were you behind a curtain or something?
Yeah. I had to order the banquet.
Oh,
had to have
fancy.
A slight, because I'm a very big Peking duck man. I didn't have Peking duck on the banquet. So I said, can we... have that banquet, but just slide a bit of Peking duck in. And they were brilliant. Yes, you can. And
fish tank.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. No, Bill, she's your full schmear. It's absolutely magnificent.
Cool mints on the bar when you walk
What was the dessert? Was it the fried ice cream with a banana in the middle?
Banana fritter.
But fried ice cream. Oh, it's my favourite host.
That's
I love Chinese restaurants.
Mm. Beautiful.
Gold. And very nice.
And you got a nice birthday present, a T-shirt from our good friend.
Neil Kingston, who dropped them off today. He's got a podcast. We don't have any details because he literally just dropped them at reception.
What does it say, Hose?
King of Kings.
The King of Kings.
King of Kings.
And you're wearing a...
Spanish.
No.
Try again.
Spanish. Actually, Swedish.
Like, hit it, Hose.
Hose, Swedish chef.
That's him, Jim. Look.
Are we allowed to say what's on the T-shirt?
No.
Probably not. No, because you'll ruin it.
No, you say it.
No, you can see it on our socials.
Socials, you can see it.
Triple
M
Rush Hour. It's
what about when Swedish
what the something or other
used to make the donuts, remember? Just throw the dough up in the air and then shoot them.
It's better than my grandfather, how he made the donuts, Jim.
Don't need to know about that.
Made them or carried them?
No.
It's time we got to the news.
I've got coated ones.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah, you're just an old man lover.
Yep.
I love big saggy balls.
I go. That's actually not possible, Hose.
Very
Eddie
possible.
Green is coming up back into the show. Great friend of the Rush Hours, of course.
Yeah.
And he's in town for the Coward Punch campaign dinner tomorrow night.
At Crown.
At Crown. And, of course, the front bar tonight with you.
Spot on.
9:05.
Yes.
Don't mind, umpire, please.
Yeah.
The Seven Network. Now, Bill,
yes.
What else have we got going, please? I know there's some feedback coming soon from Hose.
That'll be interesting walking into Channel 7.
It will be.
I reckon I've ever been into Channel 7, Jim.
Oh, that's the Field of Dreams.
Crikey, I wonder if it'll be a contract.
I don't reckon.
No, right. some sad news for the World Game followers, Jim, because Brazil were going to play a friendly against Argentina.
At the Triple MCG.
At the MCG on June 11. It's been cancelled. You know why?
Why?
Argentina don't want to travel.
Boo.
Boo.
They don't want to travel, Jim. Last time Argentina played here, I think Lionel Messi played, and there was 95,000 people turned out to watch, and Martin Pakula, good fella, actually, Victorian sports minister, he said, guess what he said? What
did he say?
I'm pretty pissed off, quote unquote. He did. So I think 60,000 tickets had already been sold.
Ooh,
so that's no good for the World Game there. There's finals in the A-League too. We'll bring you up to date tomorrow with that because Melbourne Victory and also Melbourne City are in
the finals. I
think
the finals start next week, so we'll bring it to you.
That's right, Hose. We'll be on
when we have more information.
Yeah, thanks, Hose, for helping him out with his sports wrap.
No problem.
Mm. Well, that's what she does. Cricket Tasmania have opted not to offer former Test captain Tim Payne a contract for next summer, Jim. Jeez. So poor old Payne, what is he, 38?
That might be curtains.
That would be curtains, you would have thought.
Well, we forget because of the last minute of what's happened with him that he did a bloody good job coming back and captaining Australia at a time of crisis.
Exactly. Mm. And did you're right. And also probably the best gloveman going around.
Oh, he was.
Very good gloveman.
At the time, no doubt.
10-pin bowling, Jim. We don't talk about it much on here.
No, we don't.
But Australia has been awarded the hosting rights for this year's 10-pin bowling World Cup.
Really?
It's going to be in Queensland.
Oh.
And guess what, Jim? We've got the best players here. We've got...
in the world?
Well, Jason Belmonte, the world's top-ranked men's bowler. He comes from Orange.
Oh, wow.
And also we've got Beck Whiting, who's the one of the great women bowlers here, and she's in Victoria.
So have they got that little leather thing you wear
on the wrist? Oh, mate. They've got about five of them. Don't worry about
it. And those weird-ass different coloured shoes.
And their own balls. Oh. Mate, they'd have about five or six different
balls. And
they've
only got the cloth. Clean the ball.
We should watch this because that would be fair dinkum, wouldn't it? Every ball. Oh. 750 bowlers are coming throughout the world. This is a huge event. So good luck to Jason.
The spares.
Oh, mate. That would be good to watch, Jim, because you're right. What is that plastic thing there?
I don't know.
No idea. Guard.
The guard. Thank you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So then he yelled at the bird. The bird yelled back with infanities.
Profanities. Write that down, please. Indeed. I know you've got feedback coming, Hose, and of course you've got Danny Green as well, but you see front page of the paper, Fat.
Yes.
Dimmer, Damien Hardwick joins the advisory board of Levin Health, of course, which is the medicinal cannabis company run by my brother.
Oh. Yes.
And it has changed his life. It's changed Lauren Jackson's life. It's changed Danny Southern's life. You know Danny Southern, before he went on medicinal cannabis, had to sleep in a chair for 5 years.
Oh.
His back was that fried, he couldn't sleep in a bed. And then he became a medicinal cannabis user.
Yep.
And he's now sleeping normally again, sleeping properly. It has changed his life.
And Alistair Clarkson.
Alistair Clarkson's another one.
Hey, just one thing I forgot about.
Yep.
Jason Horne Francis, my man, Jim
has
told me.
Don't start this scurrilous crap.
No,
he
has told me.
To do with you.
He's not going to be playing this weekend, Jim.
I don't listen to Nuff Nuffs. You are the top of that tree.
I know, but me old mate, me other Nuff mate, he told me he's not playing this weekend, right?
So feedback, Hose.
Hello, Rosemary.
We'll note that down.
Right.
Go to Triple M Rush Hour Instagram to see Bill butchering totally a live read today. Very, very funny.
Hilarious.
We have to pre-record some things before the show because they need to be done correctly.
Yes.
And you'll see why we have to pre-record them. Very funny.
But, Bill, when I'm talking about Nuff Nuffs, I mean you.
Yeah.
You call a Nuff Nuff.
Yeah, that's what you call a Nuff Nuff. Why Bernie's done his whole segment.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So yesterday it was your birthday, James.
Yes.
We've got a newish team together. So Witt's in charge now. I've joined. Eth is still here, but he's doing a little bit more than usual. We've got Maddie here.
Onion.
He's not included in this.
Unreasonably large head.
He gets in
Rabs
the road.
Is usually here. Rabbits, wasn't here for your birthday. Yes. I don't know if he would have approved what we did.
No.
So we tried to get a message for your birthday yesterday.
Right.
From somebody.
Who?
Famous.
Right.
But they didn't get it to us in time.
Oh.
But we've got it today.
Right.
Let me play it for you.
G'day, Jamie. Billy Brownless here, mate. Wishing you a happy birthday, JMO. Good on you, buddy. You're a fan. That is good. I hope you have a big day, big night, and a couple of frothies for JMO for his birthday. Now the silo story. Me and a couple of mates driving up to a wedding, West Wylong. Making good time, had a couple of frothies, 40 to a pub, 40 to one the bar, what's that 40, original boy come down, 12 years ago for now, and get that 40 over the silo across the road. No one can do it. Couple more beers. Bang. I kick it over the silo. Oh, and we went to the wrong wedding, believe it or not. It wasn't Flaggy's wedding. Ah, good on you, JMO. You're a good boy, you're a hard worker, and you think of others. That is fantastic. Happy birthday to you, Jamie, from me, Billy, from the Cats.
Yeah.
So,
is that one of those ones you pay for?
A cameo.
Yeah, we paid for a cameo.
Did you pay for that?
We thought we'd put Jamie, and we wrote optional details. He's a true champ and a real hard worker. So he's always thinking of others. This is the perfect gift. So we got him to do a message for you.
But he didn't know
he got in late, and it was for you. But this is our favourite bit of the whole message.
You're a good boy, you're a hard worker, and you think of others. That is fantastic.
See? That is true, by the way. That's the only true thing you've said.
So
you got paid by us to do a message to me and you didn't know it was for me.
Who's Marion that booked it?
Well, it's Maddie Haywood's mum's name.
Because I was running late on this one.
Because my birthday was yesterday.
So it came through and it said, tell Jamie about the solo story.
It's his favourite story, the solo story. It was a typo. You could have worked it out.
Well, I couldn't work out what solo story was, so I wrote back to Marion.
Water
and
tank.
Said, what is it? And he's come back, oh, sorry, it's a solo. So whatever it was.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. That was you guys. Yeah. I did that today. It was one of my best bits.
Surely we haven't paid him for that.
Yeah.
Well, he can pay for our dinner tonight before we go to front bar.
And give it 5 stars, please.
No.
We have to rate it.
Rate it 5 stars.
No, just give him no stars.
I've got to show you the photo that he uses for the cameo. It has to change. It is.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, the worst thing I've ever seen.
We'll get Heath to put it up.
I can't believe that was you guys. I did some of
that's
best
not
work.
Professional. Oh, it's him God. From underneath with the chins holding a frothy.
No. Where? Give me a look.
Not professional. No. Also, how much do you charge?
Cheap.
$180 it cost.
No,
not.
You did not pay $180 for that.
Sorry,
crap.
It went up to $200. There must have been some sort of extra fee.
How? You know what I got? $68 I got.
What?
Yes. $100+ for that garbage.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Apple Google took $38.
Apple Google. That's a new company in town.
What is
Apple
that?
Apple Google.
Anyway,
please, happy birthday from Bill.
Never do that again, Hose.
Not on your life. Not on your life.
As if getting old isn't hard enough
to
take.
Just amused us in the office.
I then have to listen to his garbage.
Yes, keep going.
No, that's all the feedback.
Oh,
that's it.
You need to get your cameos in earlier.
Henson, my brother just rang.
Did he? So he just took a call on air?
Yeah, I just said I'll ring him back.
Yeah, anyway.
But how do people do that close to you? They always ring you when you're on air.
Yeah, I know.
And you're on the air at the same time every day.
Every single day. Yeah. Danny Green, Marion. I can see him through the glass. Ooh. He's ready to go, the great man.
What's happened to him?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Here we go. Don't miss your chance to see Europe's best football teams battle it out. Even battle it out.
Last time this man joined our show, Billy Brownless gave him one of the all-time great welcomes.
Now, Jimmy Boy, our next guest needs no introduction.
What are you doing?
G'day, Danny. How are you? All right?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Now, with all the bells and whistles, we welcome back the most powerful puncher from Perth that has ever been, Danny Green.
Howdy, Ophie. He's 4-time world champ. Welcome to you, Greeny.
Jimmy, Gocko, how are you, boys?
Well, have a look at him, Jim. I thought it was Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Or Mark Boris.
Or Mark Boris.
From Yellow Brick Road. He's as smooth as I've seen you look, Greeny.
What's happened in 2 years, Greeny?
Ocean, mate. Don't drink. I gave the beer away 3 years ago. No drinking.
And, what? Sorry?
No beer, mate. No froffies, Cocko.
Oh, no.
On the coffees,
Greeny.
Mate.
Greeny.
Coffees and the spritzers. And I just obviously train a lot, mate. It's my life. Training's my life. But surfing is my main
You're down at Margaret River, which is a magnificent part of the world. But I don't understand it, Greeny, because for 20 years, you were an elite boxing superstar. You quit. Now's the time to have a beer.
Yes.
Now's the time that you can have a beer.
Sit back.
I never missed out, boys. Okay, you know that. I never missed out. I was first to start and last to finish.
And you're in town, a very big night tomorrow night at Crown, Friday the 13th of May. Ooh.
Ominous.
It is at Crown, and it's your Stop the Coward Punch dinner. We've had a few of these, and then I think the last 2 years we haven't, of course, because of COVID. But tell us about that, Green Man.
Well, this is a way that the Coward's Punch campaign raises money. Obviously, when I say non-for-profit, no one gets paid a single cent. So we've got to raise money from somewhere so we can then use that money for advertising to make TV adverts.
Yep.
We've made some extremely hard-hitting, impacting TV advertisements over the last 10 years. The campaign's been going nearly. And that money's also used to engage a Victorian Institute of Forensic Medicine to then conduct a piece of a groundbreaking world-first piece of research we've spoken about previously that showed us, given us the evidence that cow punch deaths has declined from the year 2012 when I started the campaign to 2018. The numbers have declined, which is very promising for everyone that works so hard on the campaign.
Yep.
And then also we've teamed with Cool Australia, educating kids. So it's getting the Cowpunch campaign into an educational tool that we can then implement into Australian schools high schools and up to grades from grade 7 onwards in high school that helps enables teachers to then choose what subject they need to do for the day. So we've reached, with the help of Cool Australia injecting this into the schools, we've reached 16,000 kids this year in 6 weeks.
In 6 weeks.
So to give you an indication, like, you know, you might get someone who goes talks to a school and they might reach 500 kids.
Yeah.
And that might happen every, you know, quarter or every whatever. We've reached 16,000 so far in 6 weeks.
Free online Jimmy Boy education program for years 7 to 10. And it's coolaustralia.org. And it's reached over 16,000 students
so,
in the first year.
Greeny, people listening who don't know enough about the Coward Punch campaign, in a sentence, explain why it's important.
Just quickly going back a step, Jason Kimberley was the person whose father was instrumental in getting the Sydney Swans up and running. Famous family, great family. And Jason Kimberley himself, a bit of an innovator and a really interesting man.
Author?
What's that?
He's written a couple of books.
He's great mate of Gil McLaughlin.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good guy.
Yeah, cracking. But through Cool Australia, which is his brain, he's the brainchild of that, we've able to reach 16,000 kids in 6 weeks, and it's going to continue getting stronger. But the importance of the campaign, Jimmy, is pretty simple. I'll ask you the question, because you're a father of a young boy. So why is it important to you?
Well, because I've seen the devastation that's caused families when people are victims of a coward punch. Punch from behind, a punch that no one knows coming, and people die, or they're brain damaged, and it's horrific.
I remember 3 years ago, and the mum and dad were there, and they from Brisbane. They were about an hour out of Brisbane. They got a call at 3 a.m. in the morning, and their young kid, 19, first night out on the town, he got a king hit, and they said,
"Oh, Miller family,
yes, mate, it was the saddest story." They said, "Oh, we'll come in the morning. We'll see him in hospital." I said, "No, you got to come now." And they had that drive the whole way up to Brisbane.
Young Cole Miller, the poor young fellow, and his father, Stinky.
Yeah.
Stinky, his name is Steve Miller.
Yeah.
An incredible speech that blew us away. And the year before that, we had John and Heidi Walker talk about their young son, Jaden, who was taken from a coward punch. And to hear these people talk in the crowd and have the whole crowd and literally tearing up because it's very, very heavy. These people are just so strong. So the campaign, for me, the importance is I hate seeing cowardly acts. I hate seeing – if two guys got a fight, it's really important. I'm an eye for an eye guy.
Yeah.
That's who I am. And I'm also – I'm a firm believer in no one should turn the other cheek. I think people who are told to turn the other cheek are being told an absolute – that's just stupidity. Someone smacks me, I turn the other cheek, smack me again. No. That's why I think society is in this position right now. Is because we've lost values, core values that we had growing up as young men to protect ourselves and protect our friends, not start trouble. But you know what? If something comes our way, we'll take care of it because I'm not just going to be stood on like a wood duck. Society's losing its mind in some aspects. But the cow punch is just so important because there's nothing braver and nothing weaker than seeing a person go up and hit someone from behind when they don't see it coming. It sickens everyone, it not does. Just me. It's so weak. But it's also it's affecting the way, you know, people are it's affected so many lives. People are dying, people are maimed and incapacitated for the rest of their lives with a family, and the health system has to then take care of them for the rest of their lives, and there is just no need for it. And it's resonated the whole country now is now using different terminology when it comes to those horrendous piss weak acts, and now it's termed a coward punch.
Yes. I like it, Greeny. Stay with us. We need to talk boxing next because it's been a big week for the Square Circle.
The Square Circle. Wowee.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And she says, "Patty, what's happened?" Patty said, "Oh, you won't believe it. You won't believe
it." So not only a woeful accent, but you've stopped halfway through. Danny Green, our special guest on the Rush Hour. Now, we've spoken about the amazing cowardpunchcampaign.com. Get online, educate yourself on that. The big night is, of course, tomorrow night, Crown Palladium, Eskimo Joe performing, and that will be sensational. But tonight, you're on the front bar talking about this amazing campaign and night. You're also on it with Fat.
It's going to be a great night, mate. I can't wait.
And, double whammy. What about that?
Yeah,
Green and Brownless. Who would have
thought? What about Malloy? Throw that mad dog in the mix and we're on.
And Pang.
Pang and Maya. It's all go.
Have you seen, Greeny, any of Bill's work on the footy field? A couple of times in grand finals,
he
went to be an enforcer. And he basically bunny chopped the head of Gary Buchanan, but actually never actually touched his head.
Yeah.
And then in the other one, he grabbed Ange Christou, who was the smallest player playing for Carlton in a grand final, and started an all-in because then his mate Cooter came over the top and lassoed Bill. So you're not dealing with a hard man here, Greeny.
I'm a lover.
I'm dealing with a. I look at him. He's like a marshmallow, but a hard crusted chocolate marshmallow that's hard on the outside, but a beautiful soft interior.
The one that's been in the fire.
A blancmange.
Warm. You're a warm man.
That's
You're a kind, beautiful, warm man. I want to hug you.
Well, you can. Well, there's a lot to hug, but I'm a lover, and I'm not good at that either. So I'm not sure what I do, Greeny, to be honest. But it'll be good fun with those boys the green man.
I'll show you like a kissing technique on their hands out the front. They'll teach you how to kiss.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, you'll learn somewhere, mate.
Hey, what about the fighting from last night? Of course, Paul Gallen beaten by a man who's had 17 different surnames.
Yes.
Terzievsky or Terzievsky. We don't actually know how to say it. But it sounded like a fair decision in the end.
Of course. Yeah, he was outpointed in the boxer, outpointed the bloke who has had, limited boxing ability, but, big heart, Paul Gallen, and it was good to see Nikita Zhu. Good to see him, that famous Zhu name. He cleaned his opponent out in the first round. And young Harry Garside did really well. I didn't see the fights, but he did very well. Good young and up-and-coming fighter. And, George Kambosos is on soon too. Here in Melbourne, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Jason Maloney, one of my boys, is on the undercard, the main support in that show. But, Australian boxing's in a really, really healthy position at the moment. There's a lot of young guys. You've got young kid Jai Pattaya is going to be fighting for a title pretty soon. Justice Hooney's fighting Joe Goodall, a kid from Brisbane who was an Olympian as well. So that's a heavyweight fight. That's a really good domestic local scrap. And there's some really, really good talent coming through the ranks. And it's good to see Australian boxing in a healthy position.
And I like it being done properly too. I mean, Floyd Mayweather and, that clown off YouTube and prior to that when he took on Conor McGregor, rubbish. Yeah, and it brings the great sport of boxing into disrepute, in my humble opinion, Greeny.
Yeah, look, mate, you can look at it both ways. You can go, right, these guys are exposing the sport. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor was the most disgusting spectacle I've witnessed. The fight itself, no, but the spectacle those two bozos put on,
yep.
I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how prominent you are in this world. You both acted like the biggest, most spoiled children I've seen. It was disgusting to think that they were just throwing money around on stage when there's people who can't feed their families. Mm. It made me really, really upset to see that and gave boxing a poor name. Those two carried on like scumbags.
Yeah, and then that YouTube bloke to fight one of the greatest ever. I just think it's not where boxing needs to go. You know much more about it than, of course, all of us. But it looks like the great sport is getting back to where it should be.
Well, it's in a very healthy position here in Australia. And around the world, like England has been the place that's really given the sport a renaissance, having a renaissance era boxing, and that's come from England.
Yep.
Tyson Fury.
So we like him?
We love him.
Yeah.
How could you not like that bloke?
But not the greatest heavyweight of all time, surely.
No way. No. But he's one of the best of our modern era.
Yeah.
Without doubt. Mm. And he's such a captivating personality. He I want to watch him. We all want to watch him. But he's a good guy. Like, he makes mistakes. He owns up to it. And he also, he cops on the chin, moves forward. But he has a good time. But what I love about Tyson Fury is he tries to bring everyone else in on the ride, include them in and have a bit of fun with it as well. Like, life's too short. He's not serious. He takes the piss and has a bit of fun.
Now, as we let you go, Greeny, Margaret River, of course, is where you're calling home and you're out. Yeah, surfing out there. And I don't know if you're aware, but there's lots of sharks.
No worry about the sharks, mate. It's all good.
You'd punch them, wouldn't you?
Mate, I walked down the road here in Clarendon Street, mate. I saw 10 more sharks than I've ever seen in the water at Margaret. So don't worry about that.
You're spot on.
There's more sharks on land than on the water.
Tickets still available. Head to cowardpunchcampaign.com. It's the big night tomorrow night. Crown Palladium, Eskimo Joe. Magnificent campaign you've put together, Greeny. And watch tonight, 9:05, the front bar.
Yes.
You'll see Bill. The other thing we've got to get to. Explain that to us, please.
Yeah, mate. We had a 12-round fitness has been my little baby here in Australia. It's boxing, functional strength mixed in. We've been going since 2016. There's 86 stores around the country. We've got 5 in New Zealand, 2 in Singapore. But we couldn't get the 12-round fitness name in internationally because we were blocked because of other businesses. So we changed it to U-Box, boxing and strength. We've just done a deal with the UK where we've got 250 gyms over the next 10 years to open in the UK, opening in the United States soon. New Zealand and Singapore, obviously still U-Box, so we rebranded. We knew it was coming, so we bit the bullet and had to do it now because the timing's right because we're expanding globally.
But what
so
is it?
Now it's U-Box Boxing Your Strength, so it's the same business, but we've just rebranded it. So it's very exciting for us because, you know, opening up internationally, it's a huge move for us. And we're the second largest boxing provider in the world, and soon to be will be the largest boxing provider in the world. And we're kind of a secret because we've just grown organically and now we're throwing some marketing at it. But it's very exciting to know that, you know, pretty soon we'll be the largest boxing provider in the world.
Oh, the Green Man's on fire. Love it, Jim.
Great seeing you, mate. Good luck with everything coming up.
Thanks very much, lads.
See you, Green Man.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Friday show, of course, you've got your brag artist.
Yes.
Also, Mark Beretta to talk supercars.
Ooh. Good man, Mark Beretta.
He's a very, very good man.
Geelong boy.
Yes, Geelong boy. Yep. I will be, of course, at Marvel getting ready for the big game there tomorrow night, so you can hold the 40.
So you won't be in again?
Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs.
Part-timer?
Well, Bill, I'm just down the road.
No, you're
doing
not.
The same show.
It's not the same.
Anyway.
And good luck tonight on the front bar.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Hose. You're coming along, are you?
Yes.
9:05.
You might see Rosemary in the crowd.
I think Whit, Whit's going too.
Whit's going. Maddie O's going.
Oh, hello.
Heath's going.
Jeez, if you can't get a laugh out of them, you're going bad.
Will Ralston's coming along.
Is it Will Ralston?
Yep.
Jeez, Whit's you've got dad. A friendly
What's his
audience.
Name?
Monkey.
Monkey. Monkey.
Nice.
He's been told under no circumstances is he allowed to wear his Geelong gear. No,
yes, he can. My goodness. And he'll have a few beers before it and he'll be talking. And he'll go, oh, no.
All right, joke?
Yeah! No.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
All right, Fat. They've been ordinary this week.
No, yesterday. Oh, Hose laughed at one the
one
other day.
One of them she laughed at.
I was told
at
I shouldn't have played Woody. I should have played Woolly Bully yesterday. Yes. Here we go today.
Who is the most lonely billionaire?
Who?
Elon Musk.
Can't even get the name right.
I get it.
Elon Musk.
Musk.
Oh, alone.
Elon Musk.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No?
Yep.
We
you
go again?
You've got to put the K on the end.
Well,
Bill.
I
we don't know who it is unless you say
well,
Elon Musk.
Just listen up, you fool's heads. I've got another one just in case.
I hope.
I just hope. Had a second one up my yes. sleeve. Hang on.
Elon Musk. Hmm. Yeah, righto.
A bloke walks into the bar, Jim, and yes. sits down at the bar on a stool and sees a man with a dog. He asks the man, does a dog bite and can he pat it? The man said, yeah, sure, my dog don't bite. No worries, mate. So the bloke goes down to pat it and it rips his arm off,
oh,
Jim.
No.
Took his arm off.
Off.
Off. Totally off. There's blood and stuff everywhere. He said, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. He said, it's not my f***ing dog.
No. I'm not.
Hose!
Yes, oh, you no! must, Hose.
I'm not laughing at
no,
the joke.
No.
What?
I'm laughing at you trying to get that's, me to laugh
yes,
because you swore.
Yeah. That's right. Actually a Pink Panther, I think.
It is, and it was done
no,
in
yeah,
French.
Dog.
No, sir, that is not my dog. Yeah. That would have been funny.
And no, sir, it's not my dog.
Not my dog.
Hadn't heard that one before. Here's your joke.
Can
that's
you
a
believe
lie.
It?
Thanks for my phone back.
Oh, my God.
And anyway, to Lee Gard, who sent that in.
Hope you've got better stuff than that tonight with Mick.
Yeah, probably not. Oh, I don't know if I'm going with that one off the top. Is that your dog, Mick?
Not my dog.
That's not my dog.
That is not my dog.
Oh, righto, Hose. Have a spell.